bring our voices out, all right?
Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home, the way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Good. Page 34.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting and confiding come on safe in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Let's speed it up a little bit on that last verse.
I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm's sake, in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith.
Seated.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Thank you. Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Thirst for Him, hunger for Him, desire to adore Him. Indeed, might that be the expression or the confession of our hearts and lives today. Well, we have the privilege to have the David Lott family with us today, missionaries to Guatemala. I know that Metropolitan is very familiar with them and their work in Guatemala, and I'm thrilled that they're able to be with us and give a report on what God's doing there. And I don't know when the last time they were here with Metropolitan. He shared in Sunday school that we have been part of their ministry for at least the last 16 years. And so we're very grateful for that. And Brother David, you come and share what's going on in video and preach the Word of God for us.
Good morning to Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's good to be here this morning. Anybody here? Okay. Just checking. It's a joy for us to be back at Metropolitan this morning. And for those of you who may not know who my wife and two daughters are that are here this morning, Beth, would you please stand? This is my wife and Bruce's sister, but I saved her out of that family. And then my two daughters, Christina and Rebecca. And my two boys, Jonathan, if you've kept up with the prayer letters, he just got married here in Texas in May. And immediately following that we flew to Peru and had a wedding down there. So he's double hitched, but to the same woman. So he's right now living in Peru. And Lord willing, they'll be coming up probably next year sometime to begin deputation. He feels that God has called him to work on the translation of scriptures to languages that don't have the scriptures at present. And God has given him special talent and ability in that area. And we praise the Lord for that. Our second son, Timothy, is now in the United States Air Force. He's down at Lackland Air Force Base in his specialty training, his tech school. And, excuse me, he'll be finishing that up here in July, and then he'll be deploying out to Moody Air Force Base at the first part of August, and we're very proud of him as well. And it's a joy for us to be here this morning, and as I shared in Sunday school, our main purpose during our furlough time this time is to report to as many of our supporting churches as we possibly can, and just give a special thank you to each one of the churches. We're not quitting, don't think that. But God has been good to us, and our support level's good, and we thank Metropolitan for their faithful support, your faithful support and prayers over the years. And we're just wanting to travel around and let the churches see what's been happening in Guatemala and say a very special thank you, because we are grateful mostly to the Lord, but also to each one of our supporting churches for their part in our ministry. And we'd like to show you our report video at this time. And if you have any questions after the service, I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have regarding our family, our ministry, our plans, whatever. I might share just a little bit more after the video, and then we'll get into the Word of God this morning. But I hope the video will be a blessing to you this morning.
Guatemala is a country that is full of historical and cultural diversity. Located at the northern end of Central America, it has more than 14 million inhabitants in the heart of the ancient Mayan world. However, Guatemala is far from ancient, as is seen when you arrive in the capital, Guatemala City. As in most third world nations, more than a quarter of the entire population of the country lives in the capital. Although the city is fast-paced and industrial, the majority of the country is agricultural and more laid-back. In recent years, Guatemala has faced a number of unanswered difficulties. Poverty has long been an issue among the rural people of Guatemala, with many malnourished children and adults. Since the signing of peace in the 36-year-long Civil War, crime has been one of the main factors affecting everyday life of nearly every Guatemalan. From petty theft to street gangs to organized drug cartels, Guatemala has one of the highest violent crime rates in Latin America. In 2011, there was an average of 42 murders each week in Guatemala City alone. There is also great diversity of religions in Guatemala. From devout traditional Catholicism with its pomp and circumstance, especially during Easter week, to Mayan, Indian, animistic rituals. From Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses to radical Pentecostalism with its faith healers. There is no lack of spiritual influence in this Central American nation. What there is a lack of is biblical truth presented through the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1991, my family and I came to Guatemala as missionaries under the authority of Faith Baptist Church. Over the years, God has blessed us with four wonderful, God-fearing children. We have watched them grow from tiny little babies to active kids to teenagers and now adults. Our oldest, Jonathan, married a wonderful Christian young lady from Peru that he met while studying for the ministry at Pensacola Christian College. John feels the Lord's call on his life to translate the scripture to languages that still do not have God's word in a written form. After attending a year of college at PCC, Timothy has fulfilled his dream since he was a young teen of serving our country in the Air Force. Timothy graduated basic military training with honors in March.
Timothy Law, Colin,
and is now training to be part of the Air Force Security Forces. Christina graduated from high school this year and starts PCC in the fall as a nursing major. She feels that God wants her to serve in medical missions on the foreign field as a missionary's wife. and she was able to get a taste of that just recently. Rebecca, well, she hasn't graduated yet, but she's looking forward to what the Lord has for her in the future. Over the years in Guatemala, God has allowed us to start three different churches: Life in Him Baptist Church, Abundant Life Baptist Church, and Truth Baptist Church. God has allowed us to be involved in a diversity of ministries as well. Although the construction took a good bit longer than expected, recently we had the privilege of inaugurating the new church building for Abundant Life. What a joy it was for the believers to be able to finally have a permanent place of their own. The man leading the singing is Brother Tono Carranza. He used to be a very devout Catholic, paying dearly in order to be able to carry the huge floats during Holy Week. God gloriously saved him, and now he is actively serving in the Second Church. Over 12 years ago, I had a burden to start an annual pastor's camp to help further equip pastors for the needs in their ministries. Over the years, the camp has grown to where we are now averaging 115 pastors and lay workers in attendance each year.
The camps at the Eagle's Nest in Sololá have been a great blessing. These camps have always been organized by Brother David Lott, a missionary that I have known for many years. He is a pastor and a teacher at the Bible Institute. I've known him for about 8 years, and he's been a tremendous blessing. Being at these conferences has been a great blessing also. During Pastor David Cortez's conference, I surrendered my life to full-time ministry. In 2009, I was sent as a missionary to the country of El Salvador. In fact, since then, I have not missed any of the pastor's camps, which have been a blessing to my life and also to the lives of all who attend these camps.
I remember the first time that I came to one of the conferences at this place. I had only been pastor for 1 month. Only 1 month, and my heart was very burdened, worried. The church was facing many problems, but I remember at that conference that God confirmed my calling. He filled me with strength, with peace, with joy, with enthusiasm. That is how I returned to my country, to serve with the commission that God had called me to fulfill.
On a much smaller scale, my wife and I also minister to the pastors and their wives in the greater Guatemala City area each month. On the first Saturday of each month, I teach pastors at Espada, a Spanish acronym for Advanced Development Pastor School. On the first Friday of each month, my wife teaches the pastor's wives at Mujer a Mujer, or Woman to Woman. This has opened up doors to be able to directly minister to these families who themselves have no pastor to which to turn.
About 4.5 years ago, we had some serious family problems, and my wife and I even thought about splitting up, thinking that was our only option. We even talked about getting a divorce. Although we knew Brother David Lott and his wife, Miss Beth, we didn't have the confidence to look to them because of the sensitive situation. Therefore, we decided to look for help on the internet, on websites that offered counseling. That didn't help us much. So we looked for counseling at Christian television stations, but that wasn't giving us the spiritual help we needed. After a while, Brother David and Miss Beth welcomed us to their home. We told them about our problem, and in a spiritual manner, they guided us. Through them, God showed us the road to hope and the way to restoration. Thanks to that, after years of continuous work, God has restored our relationship 100%. Personally, I believe that if God would not have allowed us to know Brother David Law's family, I don't know if we would have continued in the ministry, because we had already thought about leaving the church and leaving the ministry. But thanks to God for all the time and the counsel, my wife and I have moved on. We are very grateful.
I also teach each trimester at Hope Baptist Bible Institute. This institute was started by another Baptist missionary over 30 years ago and continues strong. We have an average of 15 to 20 students each year who are preparing themselves to better serve the Lord in their local churches, as well as becoming pastors and missionaries.
For the years that God has allowed me to be the director of the Bible Institute, for me, it has been a blessing to have already known Brother David Lott for many years, and to have him as part of the faculty here at the Institute, giving throughout the years different courses on different subjects. I'm sure that his teaching has influenced the life and testimony of the students in their personal upbringing for their ministry. Many of them are already pastoring, and others are missionaries in different places. I'm certain that the influence and leadership of Brother David Lott and his teaching have been key in the molding of these brethren for their ministry. So thank you for taking the time and the effort to support him in his service and his mission work. I hope that God will continue to bless you for the furtherance of the gospel here in Guatemala.
Our main ministry at present is the establishing and growing of Truth Baptist Church, the only independent Baptist church among the middle class in a city of nearly 4 million people. Since our last furlough, Satan began to work and cause problems which were slow and difficult to overcome. However,
ministry in 2009 to the country of El Salvador. In fact, since then, I have not missed any of the pastor's camps, which have been a blessing to my life and also to the lives of all who attend these camps.
I also minister to the pastors and their wives in the greater Guatemala City area each month. On the first Saturday of each month, I teach pastors at ESPADA, a Spanish acronym for Advanced Development Pastor School. On the first Friday of each month, my wife teaches the pastor's wives at Mujer a Mujer, or Woman to Woman. This has opened up doors to be able to directly minister to these families who themselves have no pastor to which to turn.
Hace más o menos 4 años y medio tuvimos un problema.
About 4.5 years ago, we had some serious family problems, and my wife and I even thought about splitting up, thinking that was our only option. We even talked about getting a divorce. Although we knew Brother David Lott and his wife, Miss Beth, we didn't have the confidence to look to them because of the sensitive situation. Therefore, we decided to look for help on the internet, on websites that offered counseling. That didn't help us much. So we looked for counseling at Christian television stations, but that wasn't giving us the spiritual help we needed. After a while, Brother David and Miss Beth welcomed us to their home. We told them about our problem, and in a spiritual manner they guided us. Through them, God showed us the road to hope and the way to restoration. Thanks to that, after years of continuous work, God has restored our relationship 100%. Personally, I believe that if God would not have allowed us to know Brother David Lott's family, I don't know if we would have continued in the ministry, because we had already thought about leaving the church and leaving the ministry. But thanks to God for all the time and the counsel, my wife and I have moved on. We are very grateful.
I also teach each trimester at Hope Baptist Bible Institute. This institute was started by another Baptist missionary over 30 years ago and continues strong. We have an average of 15 to 20 students each year who are preparing themselves to better serve the Lord in their local churches, as well as becoming pastors and missionaries.
For the years that God has allowed me to be the director of the Bible Institute, for me it has been a blessing to have already known Brother David Lott for many years, and to have him as part of the faculty here at the Institute, giving throughout the years different courses on different subjects. I'm sure that his teaching has influenced the life and testimony of the students in their personal upbringing for their ministry. Many of them are already pastoring, and others are missionaries in different places. I'm certain that the influence and leadership of Brother David Lott and his teaching have been key in the molding of these brethren for their ministry. So thank you for taking the time and the effort to support him in his service and his mission work. I hope that God will continue to bless you for the furtherance of the gospel here in Guatemala.
Our main ministry at present is the establishing and growing of Truth Baptist Church, the only independent Baptist church among the middle class in a city of nearly 4 million people. Since our last furlough, Satan began to work and cause problems which were slow and difficult to overcome. However, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. With gated communities and limited contact with neighbors, we decided that it called for drastic measures. About a year ago, we started prayer walking our area of town. In less than a year, our attendance has more than doubled, and the spirit of the church is better than it has ever been. We praise the Lord for what He's doing in Truth Baptist Church.
I am very satisfied, and mostly because of the doctrine that is taught. That really is the truth. Also, because of the love that the pastors have, for the love that we all have, one with another. That is why I wouldn't change my Truth Baptist Church.
En Iglesia Bautista, he encontrado.
I have found in the Baptist Church what I was looking for. I found a teacher that allows God to use him and instruct us, to teach us. I praise and bless the Lord, and am very happy to be there at Truth Baptist Church, because I believe I have found the right place that I was seeking.
I came to this church as a lost person. I came here maybe looking for physical security, preventing some illness. However, what I needed was salvation, a spiritual healing. Christ has changed my life completely. I am not the same. I have renounced sin and the things of this world because I want to be closer to Him. I thank God because while being at this church, God has allowed me to know His Word more. I am profoundly thankful as well because I have been able to know the truth and the freedom of His Word, unlike the ideals of the world of relative truth. This church is a clear demonstration of how the Word of God is the only truth and gives witness to itself.
All of this would not have been possible were it not for the faithful prayers and financial support of churches like yours. We thank the Lord, and now we also want to thank you.
Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9. I would say that if you haven't been by our display at the back, we have new prayer cards, and we encourage you to go by and pick one of those up and continue to pray for our family. And we praise the Lord for what He's doing there in Guatemala. There's a man there in the church now while we're here on furlough who we've known for many years. He's been a preacher that's kind of filled in as a kind of a lay preacher for a number of years. And in February, he came to our church and joined our church. And he is the interim pastor right now. And we're praying that the Lord would do a work in his heart as well as in the hearts of the people there at Truth Baptist Church to prepare him to be the pastor of that church. And since we've been up here, we received word that they won a whole family of three to the Lord, and they baptized them. And we just saw pictures yesterday on Facebook. The youth group, which is about 10 or 12 strong, is we're in a workshop for doing puppets in preparation for some evangelistic outreaches that they're planning for this November and December when the school year is out. The school year in Guatemala is from January to October, and then their vacation time is toward the end of the year. And so we're very thankful to the Lord and grateful to Him for what He's doing in the hearts of the people there in Guatemala, and that He's allowed us to be a part of that, and Metropolitan Baptist Church to be a part of that as well. And we're grateful to you for your investment and for your confidence in us as your missionaries there in Guatemala. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 this morning, I'd like to speak to you using this passage as kind of a launching point for what I would like to speak to you about. The background of this passage is the nation of Israel. If you've read your Bible or been in Sunday school or know anything about the nation of Israel, God called Moses out of the desert to go and to free His people from Egypt. He went down and, of course, after the plagues and the things that God did, led the nation of Israel out across the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, where they received the Ten Commandments and the law. After that, they crossed the desert en route to the Promised Land. They got to the edge of the Promised Land, and they sent in 12 spies who went in to survey the land. And they came back, and all 12 had the same report as far as what the conditions were. They said it's a wonderful land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of tremendous fruit. They had brought back a cluster of grapes that required two men to carry it on a stave between the two of them. And they said it's a wonderful land. It's a land of walled cities. It's a land of giants. And 10 of those gave a report that it's a wonderful land, but we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said it's a wonderful land, and yes, God can do it. But the people listened to the other 10 spies, and Moses went along with them. And as a result of that, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that time, all of those from 20 years of age and up died in the wilderness. The book of Deuteronomy literally means the second law, because they've come to the edge of the Promised Land again, and Moses here is now going over the law again. He's repeating the law to this generation that has come up from being children and teenagers to now being the adults and head of households. And he wants them to remember the law. And in Deuteronomy chapter 9, and verse 7, the Bible says, "Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord." And he is reminding them of all that's happened, where they are today, and how they got to where they are today. And he says, "Remember and forget not." And I'd like to take this phrase this morning, and I would like to remind us of a few things. And I've titled this morning's message, "Lest We Forget." Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Our Father, we come before You this morning and we're grateful for the opportunity to serve You. We're grateful for Your Son Jesus and for His sacrifice on Calvary's cross for us. We're thankful that He didn't stay there, but that He was buried and after 3 days He rose from the dead to give us eternal life. And Father, we're grateful for the privilege of serving You. And many here this morning, Father, already know You as personal Savior. But there may be someone here today that has never placed their faith and their trust and their dependency on their eternal destiny in You. And I pray, Father, today, if there are some like that here this morning, that You would speak to their hearts as well. And that before they leave this place, that they would come to that point of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, that they would be saved. That for each one of us who are here this morning, under the sound of My voice, Father, that we would have attentive ears, not just to what I have to say as You've given me this message, but Father, what Your Holy Spirit wants to teach us through this, that we would be attentive to Your Word and attentive to Your Holy Spirit's work in each one of our hearts. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1897, for Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee, Rudyard Kipling read a poem that he had written entitled Recessional. And the first stanzas of that poem says, God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awesome hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. And those words were written as a warning about the perils of pompous pride. But in later years, those last few words, lest we forget, have become a solemn reminder and an earnest plea to not forget past sacrifices. To remember what has happened before us and to not forget those things and the things that people have done and the things that have happened to bring us to the point to where we are today. I know in a crowd this size that there's many of us who have either had the opportunity or know of someone who has had the experience of dealing with a friend or a loved one who's fall prey to Alzheimer's disease. It's a terrible disease that begins to rob a person of their memory. And I think the loved ones of those people perhaps suffer more than the person who has the disease many times. But I think today in Christianity, there's many Christians who suffer from what I like to call spiritual Alzheimer's disease. We get to a point where we forget things that we really need to remember. We forget some important truths. And the Bible says here in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 7, remember and forget not. And I would like to speak to us this morning very briefly on three things that we need to remember and not forget. The first thing that many times we've forgotten is the condemnation under which we were, or perhaps still are, if you're here today and unsaved. If I were to ask here this morning for a raise of hands, most or many of the people in this room would say, I got saved many years ago. Some of you may have been saved as a small child and now you're in your latter years. Many of us have known the Lord Jesus Christ for many years and to be honest, we don't remember what it was like to not be saved. And we forget the condemnation under which we were and under which many people still are today. We need to realize that each one of us were born separated from God. Many verses in the Bible teach us that. Romans 3:23, Romans 5:12. Our sin has separated us from God, but not only that, that sin bears with it a price. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And it's not just talking about a physical death. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. Almost the last words of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, God's Word says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's not just a physical death, it is a second death, an eternal separation, an eternal condemnation. The chapter previous to this one, in verses 14 and 15, says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a condemnation, the consequences of our sin. Many of us know the story. And it is a story, it's not a parable. In Luke chapter 16... of Lazarus and the rich man. There was a rich man who lived very sumptuously. And there was a beggar at his gate named Lazarus. And one day both of them died. And Lazarus was carried into paradise, into Abraham's bosom. And the Bible says in verse 23 of Luke chapter 16, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, speaking of the rich man, being in torment. We find that that was a conscious place. He lifted up his eyes. It was a place of pain. He was in torment. Not only is it a place of consciousness and pain, but it is a place of final destiny, of eternal existence. The Bible says in verse 26, there is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. We forget the condemnation, the consequences of our sin, and we need to understand that that is a predetermined place. But it's not necessarily a permanent condition. Before some of you start thinking that I've become a Calvinist, I haven't. The Bible teaches this. In John chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned. What does it say? Already. It is a predetermined place because of your sin. When you were born into this world, you were predetermined to go to hell unless you came to a place where you were repentant of your sin. And realized that you needed a Savior, and that only Savior was Jesus Christ. Amen. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. It is a predetermined condition, yes, but it's not a permanent state. It can be changed. You can be freed from that condemnation. But the problem is we forget the condemnation. We forget really what hell is like. We forget what our eternal destiny was were it not for Christ. And that leads us to the second thing that we forget. We forget the condemnation, but we also forget the cost of our salvation. We forget what it cost. Andrew, he's my nephew, by the way. I didn't know you could sing. You did a good job. Proud of you. This is not going to happen because this is the key to my 2000 Trooper. But if I were here this morning and I said, Andrew, this is the key to a brand new 2013 Ford F-350 King Ranch Edition with navigation, the works, I'm going to give it to you. He's got a big old smile on his face, but this is what I... You know, if I gave Andrew that gift this morning, it wouldn't cost Andrew anything. It would be a gift because gifts are freely given. But it wouldn't be free. Because it would either cost me or somebody at least $62,430 according to the Ford website. For a truck? Now, when we receive a gift at Christmas or on a birthday or for some other occasion, we receive a gift and we're very appreciative of that gift. But many times we don't have a clue as to how much that gift cost that person. You see, our salvation is a free gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a free gift to us, but it is by no means a free gift. It cost our Father in heaven the life of His only begotten Son. As we said in the video, my second son Timothy has joined the Air Force and we're very proud of him. The first person that I know, I'm aware of, on the Lot side of the family to ever be in the armed forces. He made his daddy proud. But by the same token, I know one day he'll be in harm's way. If the Lord tarries. And to him to have to someday perhaps give his life for this country is something that he would be willing to do, and I would be very proud if that were to happen, but it would not be something I would look forward to. To imagine giving one of my children's life for people I don't know. But that's exactly what our Heavenly Father did. He gave His Son's life for sinners. Not for good people. Jesus Himself said, the healthy don't need a doctor. It's the sick that need a doctor. But we forget the cost. May I remind you of the cost this morning? In Isaiah 53, the Bible says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." We forget the cost. We forget the cost. We forget the condemnation. We forget the cost, but there's a third thing we forget, and that's the call. that God has on each of our lives. Far too often we get comfortable in our Christian lives. We come to church in our Ford F-350. We like to sit in padded pews and have air conditioning in Texas summers. And I'm not against that. But what happens is we get comfortable in our Christianity. And we're like Goldilocks when she goes in. She likes it like Baby Bear. Everything's just right. And that's the way we like it. But do we realize what we're forgetting? We, that means me and that means you, have a call from God upon our lives to go. In Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Mark 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke 24:47 says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." John 20:21 says, "And as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Acts 1:8 says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We have a call upon our life, and we've forgotten the call of God. May I say this morning that there is a need. We live in a world that as of 2012 has surpassed 7 billion people. 7 with a B. 7 billion people of quote-unquote Christians, any who name the name of Christ in any way, supposedly 2.1 billion are Christians. Among evangelicals and charismatics, that lowers to about 868 million, or about 12% of the world's population. Among truly born-again believers, obviously that's a fraction of that number. Do you know today that the fastest growing religion in the world is Islam? 1 out of every 5 people on the planet Earth are Muslim. And growing faster than any other religion in the world. There is a need. There is a need. And we're not just talking about in Russia or in China, Southeast Asia or Africa. We're talking about right here. There is a need. And there is a call. We've already seen this. Now, I agree that God does call men for specific ministries. I believe that there is a call to preach. I believe that God directs men and calls men to go to the mission field. But there is a general call, if you will, for us to go, for each one of us to go. And we are to go. And many times as Christians, and dare I say, good independent Baptists, that we're waiting on a bolt of lightning to strike us in the head. But, well, God hadn't called me, bless God. And we're waiting for God to send a lightning bolt. You know what He says in Matthew 12:39? "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." You have a call on your life. And may I say this morning, you will respond. As I've been preaching, God has spoken to your heart, maybe about an individual. Maybe about a friend, a family member. Maybe about your Muslim neighbor. Maybe God has spoken to you about having forgotten the condemnation or the cost of your salvation. And you will respond this morning. You will either say yes to God in some area of your life that He's spoken to you about this morning, or you will say no to God in every area of your life. You see, when God's Word is preached and His Holy Spirit begins to work in our hearts, He does speak to us. He does convict us. He does remind us. He does bring things to our memory. And He asks us to respond in a certain way. And we will either say yes in this area of our life or this area of our life, or we will say no to every area that He's dealing with us about. Say, well, Brother Dave, I'm going to pray about it. You don't have to pray about what God's already said plainly. In his book, The Noonday Devil, C.S. Lewis writes about three devils arguing about how to best win souls for Beelzebub. The first devil says, I know, let's tell them that there is no God. And you know what? That has worked. There are people in our country and around the world that say there is no God. They're fools, according to the Bible. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And if you get right down to it, I was reading an article just recently where in a counseling magazine about for soldiers, and it was talking about no atheists in foxholes and where that saying came from. And the chaplain was saying, I've been on the battlefield. It's a true saying. You see, when it gets right down to it, most atheists, I'll get it right in a minute. Most atheists aren't atheists. They just don't want to admit that there's a God. But he has fooled some people. And they think, oh, well, there's no God. I don't have to worry about it. Well, a second demon speaks up and he says, you know what? Don't tell them there's no God. Just tell them there's no heaven. And you know what? There's a lot of people that believe that today. Do you know where you're going to die? Or where you're going to go if you were to die? Oh, I'll come back as a dog. Or I'll come back as a horse. They believe in reincarnation. People that begin to believe things that are nowhere taught in the Bible, that go completely against logical reasoning with the human mind, but they begin to believe, well, there's no heaven. And the reason they think there's no heaven is because if there's no heaven, then the opposite is true. There's no hell. I don't have to worry about that either. And they begin to believe these things. But then a third, older and wiser demon spoke up and he says, well, those will work for some people, but I've got a better idea. Simply tell them, there is no hurry. There's no hurry. You can talk to your friend tomorrow. You can talk to your family member next week. It can wait till Christmas when we're all together again. And many Christians who would never believe that there is no God, who would never believe that there is no heaven, have fallen to the lie of Satan to believe that there is no hurry. I can serve God after I get married. After I finish college. After I get my first good job. After we buy a house. After the kids are grown. When the grandkids get here. After I retire. Well, if you keep going, you might get one right. After you're dead, you might be able to serve God because you'll be in heaven. But we just believe that lie that there's no hurry. Edmund Burke once said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. Could I modify that a little bit this morning? All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for godly men to do nothing. And you know what? It's happening. You see, we forget the condemnation, the cost, and the call of God on our lives. Have you been suffering lately from spiritual amnesia? Spiritual Alzheimer's disease? You just forgot a few things? You know what? As far as I know, I haven't heard otherwise. To date, they haven't come up with a cure. for Alzheimer's disease. But you know what? There is a cure for spiritual Alzheimer's. There is a cure. It's called remembering. It's called asking God to forgive us. It's called beginning to do what God expects us to do. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know what the Lord may have spoken to your heart about this morning. There may be someone here today that has never placed their trust, their faith, the destiny of their eternal soul in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. You've heard this morning about the condemnation under which you are. You've heard about the great price, the cost that was paid for your salvation. And now God is calling you. Softly and tenderly He's calling you to come to Him, to accept Him as your personal Savior, to begin new life with Him. Maybe you're here today and God has spoken to your heart about service. You've forgotten the condemnation. Not really, but you just haven't thought about it in a while. You've forgotten the cost, and not really, but you just haven't thought about it in a while. And you've forgotten the call, but not really. You just haven't thought about it in a while. Maybe you're here today and God is specifically calling you. You see, God hasn't stopped calling people to be preachers, pastors, missionaries, pastors' wives and missionaries' wives. He hasn't stopped calling. We've just stopped answering. And God may be calling you this morning. Whatever your need is this morning, don't continue with that spiritual Alzheimer's. Do what God is asking you to do. If you need to be saved, come forward. There'll be somebody here who can take the Scriptures and lead you into an assurance that you will be in heaven if you were to die, based on what the Bible says. If God's spoken to you about some area of service, about speaking to your neighbor, about talking to that loved one, respond to God with yes. Don't say no. And if He's calling you to service, there's nothing better you can do with your life. I don't care if you're a young person, middle-aged person, or old person. There's nothing better you can do with your life if God calls you than to say yes. What will your response be today, Brother Turner?
Father, we ask.
Page 153.
to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
I trust that when we sing those words, it's not just words. So easy just to read the words from the page, mouth them, but not really be connected with our heart. Not be the truth of what we desire in our lives. We get caught up in so much, and we're all so busy. I understand. So much going on. And I think even all that busyness is part of Satan's working in our lives. So easy to be consumed with just living. And not considering, Lord, what do You want from me? What would You have me to do? That constant, might I say, continual sensitivity to what He, what His Spirit would want to use us to accomplish. How many have we forgotten, I'll use that way, along the way that we could have witnessed to or spoken to? How many that we pass every day that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we're here today that are saved and have the confidence and the assurance of eternity with Him. Before this day is done, we may hear the last trump and be in His presence. How much regret will be upon our hearts for those we didn't go to, those that we weren't praying for, those that we didn't share the gospel with. Might the Lord help us to remember. Remember what it's all about. Remember what's important. Remember why our Lord Jesus Christ came. Well, thank you, Brother Lott. Thank you for your sensitivity to the Spirit today, and it's been good. And trust God will meet with us throughout the day and this evening and the evening service as well. Please be in prayer. I know Brother Curtis is going to come with the announcements, but Vacation Bible School starts in the morning. So we need your prayer. They need your prayers, those that will be teaching and all that goes along with it. I don't know if Brother Colton's got enough folks lined up for that first hour, maybe 45 minutes. Could you still use some folks? Yeah, if you happen to be available in the morning to just help register children, please talk to Colton Holland before the day is done so he can knows he can count on you. Well, let's be seated. Brother Curtis, you come.
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward, receive this morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for the wonderful message you've given us. Lord, help us to remember. Lord, just help us to remember the price that was paid, our calling. Just remember our sins before you, Lord. You haven't remembered, but help us to remember so we don't forget the price that was paid. Lord, we're asking right now to be at this offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a few short announcements, like the preacher said in the morning, starting our VBS. Please pray for that. And we are needing some volunteers, especially for registration. So if you can help, with registration, we'll keep you at registration. We won't let you chase them all up and down the halls. Well, if y'all want to, we'll still let you do it. Let's see. Beyond that, there is no ladies' ensemble tonight. Is that correct? Okay, so scratch that. Brother Colton, are you having a VBS meeting tonight? VBS meeting tonight after tonight's services. Other than that, the regular week's agenda, ladies' visitation is still Wednesday. And, hey, folks, we still have church visitation on Saturday. We had a good turnout yesterday, enough that we needed to separate into two vans. We still have empty seats, those two vans. Saying that.
We'll be dismissed with our chorus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.